sound starts out as molecules bumping into each other in the atmosphere. And as you record it, you turn it into electrons. When you play it back, you turn it back into molecules. But when it's electrons, you can mess with it. And that's when the magic can happen.
Whether it's molecules or magic, the Stones or the Replacements, producer Jim Dickinson understood how music works and how to make it work for him. This is Take 5 from WFUV. Hi, I'm Rita Houston. Being a record producer is a job, but it's also an art, a science, and sometimes a gift. In the case of the late Jim Dickinson, it was all of the above and more. Learning from experience is half the battle, so spending the early 70s doing session work with artists like Aretha Franklin and Ry Cooder certainly helped him along. But it was listening that made Jim the unsung ambassador of the Memphis sound. Jim Dickinson passed away earlier this month at the age of 67. But in 2006, Jim joined me for an interview at FUV and spoke about soaking up Southern musical history and turning the tables to produce his own record, Jungle Jim and the Voodoo Tiger. You were born in Arkansas, kind of reared in Memphis, live in Mississippi now. For people like me, these are sacred grounds.
Oh, it's
you know?
The Holy Land. There's no doubt about that. Well, I didn't understand really how unique the area was until I went to college in Texas. I had a little band in high school, you know, and we played fraternity parties and whatever. But I never took it seriously, certainly not as a career path. And when I went to school in Texas, I realized I had all this arcane knowledge just from listening to the radio in Memphis and from being there and just absorbing the ambience of the area. These Texas musicians, it was all a mystery to them. And, you know, it was like I could do magic because I knew these simple, basic things. And it really was the path of least resistance. Even just the stories of the Sam Phillipses, the Huey Moes, the Southern producers that I heard about when I first started making records, it's all a very important part of it to me. And it's all verbal tradition, you know, and the music is part of it, but the stories are part of it, too.
The rock upon which this proud nation stands, from sea to shining sea, they built it with their hands. Never compensated for the love that they have shown. Can't hardly pay for anything they own. Redneck!
Business of wearing two hats, you know, making your own record and then producing other people's records. Is there any sort of conscious thing in your mind about that when you were making this record? Are you like, okay, now I'm the artist? You know?
Self-production is terrible.
Uh-huh.
It's, I always tell my production victims that it's a myth, but unfortunately I get trapped into it from time to time. I did have a conspirator with me on this one, which made it easier. But yeah, it's really hard because basically, as a producer, you have to sneak up on the artist, and it's hard to sneak up on yourself. You
know?
What was really hard, this was more so on the record before this, Free Beer Tomorrow, was hard for me as a producer to get from me as a session player what me as an artist wanted.
I stopped at General Roadhouse in Texas.
The late Jim Dickinson producing his own music and a version of Truck Driving Man. Hear the complete conversation and more in the audio archives at WFUV.org. Take 5 is produced by Sarah Wardrop.